Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am Foltz, and as always, sitting here with my co-host, Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos.
Thank you very much for the intro.
So, here we are again, getting ready to put out another podcast, but before we get into it, as always, let's catch up a little bit. So, since the last time I saw you, what have you been up to?
Well, since the last time I saw you, we had a football playoff weekend.
Big time, big time.
That was pretty fun to watch. And I took off on Monday.
Wow, a day off for Steve.
Yeah, it's unusual for me to do, but I used it very well. I had an educational trip to the Pennsylvania Farm Show.
The Farm Show, the pride of Pennsylvania every time January rolls around. And it's always a debate. Is it going to snow outside for Farm Show week? And I think we got our snow for the Farm Show.
Yes, there was some snow this week.
Yeah, and what is crazy is we got some snow this week, and then today it was pushing 60 degrees outside.
It was a magnificent January day.
I loved it. It's got me excited for spring, but we'll put the brakes on that for a while because we got a ways to go. So tell me, you take the whole fam out to the farm show and enjoy it?
I took Jackson, and I took my wife.
Excellent. So what was your little boy's reactions to his, was this his first farm show?
This was his first farm show, and you know, I didn't know what was going to happen, if he was too young to relate to all the animals.
Right.
But he was not. He locked in on it. It was classic.
That's amazing. That's being a kid and going to the farm show. Well, maybe we should back up a little bit. For our listeners that aren't local to the Pennsylvania area, every year for the past, I think now it's been 101 years, the capital of Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, they have their annual farm show. And farmers and all the different types of agriculture companies and people and workers and industries, they come in to a really big building named the Farm Show Complex,
which is magnificent to see. It's huge.
It's an enormous building where they hold all kinds of events and activities throughout the year.
But this is the main one.
This is the event, hence it being named the Farm Show Complex. And farmers will bring their pride of their of the animals that they have on their farm. They'll bring their best cows or sheep or pigs, and they put them on display, and they're judged, and there's awards, and they even sell some of the animals, and they can make some big time bucks on some of their big studs that they sell. Or
it's amazing to see how much they give for like a prize winning heifer.
Yeah,
like it could be a teenager that raises the cow,
right?
And it's a $10,000 prize.
Yep.
For the best one,
making big time money. And I mean, I don't want to speak out of something that I don't know a whole lot about, but I would have to think that the farm show each year for these farmers is a big part of their year, maybe even for financially.
I would think so.
Yeah, with the prizes that can be won. And I mean, you name it. I mean, if you think about a farm, any type of farm species they have. And if you're lucky, some of these animals that come in, they actually give birth during farm show week, and you're lucky enough to see these cute, adorable calves or piglets that are being born, or maybe a sheep. And I don't think I've ever come across any horses delivering a little colt or anything, but
no, I've never seen a horse delivering, but they did have a small calf wrapped in a blanket when we were in the cow section.
Yeah. I was watching, I was watching on the news. Well, funny enough, in Pennsylvania, locally here, they have a station do it throughout the whole week of the farm show, just designated to the coverage of what's going on in there. And the farmer was a little hesitant, a little worried about bringing in his cow because he knew how pregnant she was. And coming into this week, they finally came to the realization, I think she's going to give birth at the farm show. And I believe she gave birth on, I think, the second day of the farm show. So, yeah, mom was real close by, protective, and it was a real treat for anybody coming into the farm show to be able to see this new birth.
So you saw that on the news. Did you make it down to the farm show?
I did make it down to the farm show. We headed down on Tuesday, and it was a good day. It wasn't overly crowded, but it wasn't empty either. It seemed to be a quite popular day. We made our rounds through. We enjoyed seeing all the animals, but if I'm being honest, my favorite part is the food court.
Oh, man, the food court this year was hot.
They put on the best food that you could possibly think. I mean, it's all fresh farm-to-table food that they're putting out, and, I mean, it's just so delicious, and it's so reasonably priced that you can pretty much sample just about anything that you could possibly want. I think the favorite for most people going into the farm show is the milkshakes, though.
There's people that work in the Harrisburg area, and they will have one person designated to make the milkshake run that day.
I've seen them.
And then they get a big, I don't know, carrier filled with milkshakes.
Yeah, they have, you can get chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry, or you can get like half chocolate, half vanilla. And these milkshakes are to die for. If you're out of state and you ever happen to be in Pennsylvania during the farm show week, I highly recommend heading down, if for nothing less or nothing more than trying some of these milkshakes. But not only that, they have some other great food too. They have a lot of great fried vegetables that you can get in a nice platter, or you can get the one stand is just simply fried mushrooms.
And the mushrooms thing is bigger than just a stand that fries mushrooms. There's a whole expose on Pennsylvania grown mushrooms, because apparently it's a huge thing here.
It is. Pennsylvania, and where we're located here in Harrisburg, we have a huge industry for mushroom farming. Probably about, I would say, a half hour to 40 minutes from here. It's near Lancaster, Pennsylvania, but it's called Avondale, Pennsylvania. And it is a really huge mushroom farm industry. And if you're driving through Avondale, or once you cross into Avondale, you know that you're in Mushroom County, because it smells like you're in Mushroom County. No disrespect, because these farmers do a great thing, and they definitely fill up our bellies not only in the farm show, but through our grocery stores. But yeah, magnificent.
I've heard Avondale called the mushroom capital of the world.
I would have to believe that, because you drive through there, and it's weird, because it seems like you're just driving through a small little town, but you turn your head to the left, you turn your head to the right, and it's mushroom farmer, and they must all do really well, because there's got to be a huge demand, because they're all farming mushrooms, but they're all obviously making out really well.
Judging from the line at the farm show for the fried mushrooms, they're doing really well at the farm show itself also.
I would definitely agree with that. If you haven't been to the farm show, you walk into this big auditorium where they have all these stands set up, and if you're hungry, you're going to be waiting a while. My suggestion is, if you take a survey of your family, is anybody hungry yet? If the survey is no, go get in line for the food, because by the time you get to the front of the line, you're going to be ready to eat, and also smelling all the delicious foods. One of my favorites, other than the milkshake, is the mozzarella cubes, or the cheese cubes.
Oh, those things, they got them skewered. So you look across, if you're standing in one line, and I liked your style. We talked a little bit about the lines before the show. And,
right.
And Matt said what his family does is they divide and conquer. So he'll get in one line, and then other family members will get in other lines to get everything done at the same time. I like that.
Yeah, you have to divide and conquer, especially there's six of us in my family. So one of us will say, okay, you go get in line for the milkshakes, and you go get in line for the cheese cubes. Because, like I said, it's a pretty lengthy line, so that you're not getting your milkshake and then you drink it all while you're waiting in line for the mozzarella cubes. You can meet together, and then you can enjoy your milkshake and food at the same time. And trying to find a place to put your food down can even be a challenge. They have tables set up, but good luck. We didn't find one, and we usually just like try and cop a squat or just stand around enjoying our food.
And the milkshakes you can take with you throughout the whole venue, and if they melt, it tastes better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The longer you have the milkshake, it's not like a Wendy's milkshake where it separates. It's all good, wholesome milk inside there.
They are so delicious. And I actually look forward to the time where we grab our milkshakes and we finished our food, and then we're going to take a walk through, because my littler children, I know any second now their bellies are going to get full, and I'm going to turn to them and be, are you done with that? Would you like daddy to finish that off for you? And by the time we've made it through the animals, I have such a sugar high that I'm ramped up. But it's nothing but love for the farm show, and what a great event.
I'll tell you a secret. I switched my milkshake with Jackson's.
Okay, what were they, different flavors? Or
same flavor. I could just see that his was not going to all get eaten or drank. So I was about 3/4 of the way through mine, and I just took his out of his hands, and I put mine in his hands.
It was a score for Steve, and the little guy probably didn't know what happened, and he just knew that he still had a milkshake, and he was loving it.
He was just stoked to have a chocolate milkshake.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, so we have the great farm show going on this week. I think it's running, today's Thursday, so I believe it's going on for two more days in the city, and then it'll be gone for another year. But, yeah, like I said, what an event. It's been going on 101 years.
Let's talk a little bit about the animals.
Okay.
So the animals are in an area that you can walk up to and pretty much touch any animal.
Right. Yep. You can touch them, pet them. Sometimes they'll allow you to feed them.
At your own risk.
Oh, definitely.
Because there's, you know, say a horse in a stall, and then at the bottom where the door is, there's a board. And some horse, like a cross, will kick the board.
Oh, yeah.
And it's scary.
Oh, definitely. Some of the bigger horses, they'll actually have, I don't know if you saw this, but they'll have a spot where kids can come get in line. They have to go up like maybe 2 or 3 steps, and the handlers are there, and they're like, only pet the horse right here.
Right.
Because they don't, if you reach up and you're touching near their head, they don't like that, and they're definitely going to let you know. Funny story, not this year, but a couple years ago, we were near the sheep, and we were turned around looking at something else, and one of my kids was really, really close to the sheep pen and went to walk away and felt a little locked. We turned around, and this sheep was trying to eat her coat.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely a watch your back situation with some of these animals. And also, definitely when they're escorting the dairy cows to be milked, or they're taking the horses to the arena to be shown, you might want to keep your distance a little bit from them, because they're not shy about relieving themselves.
Yeah. They actually were moving cattle through the cattle area while we were in it. And they don't really say much. It's just kind of a line of cows coming through an area that has a dense population of humans.
Right. And the cows are coming through whether you want them to or not. So it's like the parting of the seas when the cows come through. We used to, as a matter of fact, when the kids were younger, we would bring 2 pairs of shoes. We would have the shoes on an older pair that we would walk through the farm show with, because your shoes can get a little messy, if you know what I mean. And
I do know what you mean. Actually, Sheena said, what is that called? I said, that is a cow pie.
Fresh out of Pennsylvania cow pie.
Not to be confused with the food court.
No, definitely not. And they definitely have those two areas separated by quite some distance and a large flight of stairs and or elevator that you can take. But we would take 2 pairs of shoes, and then we'd have a cleaner pair in the car. We'd come back one at a time, set them up on the trunk of the car, take these shoes off, put them into a big garbage bag, put the new shoes on for the drive home, because otherwise your car is going to have a new air freshener for the rest of the...
January's going to smell like the farm show.
Oh, yeah. You'll be constantly reminded of the farm show.
Hey, remember that time we went to the farm show? How could I forget?
Exactly. They have so many great vendors there, too. Other than the food court and the animals, then you can go into this one big section where people from all around Pennsylvania are coming in. There's deer farms that sell all kinds of jerky, and people that own beehives. I don't know what you would call that.
Yeah, I don't know what the technical...
Honey producers.
But there was a lot of honey. There's a lot of maple syrup.
Yeah.
There was this one thing that was made out of butter, and I got black pepper, and my wife had got something else, but it was like way thicker than butter. So it was like a... I don't know if it was a spread, or it was kind of like something that you would eat just stand alone.
But did they have you put it on something like a cracker or a chip?
I think it was called ghee.
Ghee. I've heard of ghee.
Yeah.
We
sampled ghee. That was another product that they had made while we were there.
That's awesome. I didn't see the ghee.
I got some beef sticks.
Oh, money beef sticks.
They were money beef sticks too, man. I had taken like three of them to work, and I had one in my mouth walking through the door, and I just couldn't resist.
Oh, yeah. Nine times out of ten, if you get jerky, it's going to be gone before you leave the building. There's a great company there called Schaefer's Venison Farm, where they raise deer probably about an hour north of where we live, up in an area called Herndon, Pennsylvania, which I'm sure Steve's familiar with.
Yes.
He lives quite close to them, but my wife grew up with that family, and they put out some venison jerky that is just dynamite.
So as we're walking through the actual animal area, and Jackson is in his stroller, he got to hear a cow moo. So if you tell somebody that a cow goes moo,
right,
and then you take them to a farm show where there's an actual cow mooing, it's not an actual moo. It's more of like a ma. Yeah. So it's the subtleties and the differences that really captured his attention. And I wanted him to touch a cow, so we got to where this little brown cow was, and I got his hand, and we got it right in the middle where the belly was, and we got he's touching the cow's fur, and the cow kind of turned, and with his eye, just gave us a little...
What do you think you're doing?
Like a snarky eye look. And I was like, that's it. You touched a cow.
Move on. Next exhibit.
Right. The next exhibit was the poultry exhibit. And that was outrageous. The size of the chickens there were enormous.
You've never seen chickens as big as these. And chickens and ducks too,
the
that are
ducks
just
were huge,
humongous.
They look like dinosaurs.
Yeah, and they're all trying to communicate with one another. It's really, really loud, but it's really so exciting. And there's a bunch of ducklings that had just hatched, and they put them on display in this little pond with like a little step elevator. And what's crazy is that these little ducklings like love it.
They continue to get so much fun.
Yeah, the one after another, they'll go in line and they go up. It's like a little mini escalator for them
onto the slide, and then they slide down
slide
and do it
right
again.
Down. I'm kind of jealous at some points. It looks fun.
Yeah, they are having a bunch of fun.
But if you go to the farm show, you have to designate a good at least half day, because the place is so big. I know we get lost every time. We're like, how do we get back to the Northeast Hall? How did we get in? And you'll do so many laps and like, oh yeah, there it is.
Well, what tricked us was the sheep and the pigs were in the same room. So
right.
I thought they were in separate rooms. We did the oink oink and we were going for the sheep, and I just couldn't get to another room. And then I realized it's the same room. It's just the other side of the room is where the sheep
are.
Right,
right. And what can happen is there's been years where I've gone at least twice to the farm show, and some farmers will end up taking like their livestock has already been judged, so they take them out, and then you go to this area and you're like, okay, I know where I am this time. Nope, they switched it around. Once again, you're looking for a map or you're asking somebody, but I love that our state does a farm. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure the other states put on a farm show, but not to my knowledge. So I'm really glad that we have one. And I'm really proud of our state of Pennsylvania. I mean, a lot of people from outside of the state, I don't, if they don't know a whole lot about it, you'll mention Pennsylvania and they might just think it's just, you know, farms and rural areas as far as you can see, but it's really not. I mean, we do have a lot of that, but we also have, you know, our Harrisburg city, and we have some other lots of small towns where there's lots of things to do. So I thought it might be fun to share a little bit about our state tonight and all the great things that we have going on here. How about you?
Right. There's more to Pennsylvania than just the agriculture. Looking in from an outsider's perspective, you may say, oh, Pennsylvania has the Amish. That's something that we see on
right.
television, and the Amish community is here, and it is definitely a healthy community, but there are more things to Pennsylvania than just agriculture.
Right. I had some friends that came up to visit from North Carolina one time, and it was more of a business trip. And one thing that they wanted to do was they wanted to see the Amish and the horse and buggies. And I remember telling them, I was like, well, we can go take a drive through Lancaster, but I don't want to promise you that, you know, we're going to come across one. And they were like, well, how far is the drive? And I said, I told them, and they opted to not go for it based on the fact that, well, we may see one, we may not. I mean, chances are pretty good that we would have, but we didn't do it. But that was like their whole perspective of Pennsylvania coming into town was, well, we want to see an Amish horse and buggy, which to us, we're so used to it. But I guess that is kind of exciting for people to see, to actually be able to witness with your own eyes that type of lifestyle, which is really hardworking lifestyle. And they do a lot of good.
Right. And it's something that I think is part of the fabric of Pennsylvania.
Definitely.
But some of the other perspectives are that the capital where we are located in Harrisburg is where the lawmakers are for Pennsylvania, which is the Keystone State.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, our city on a scale is, you know, it's not a great big city as compared to Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. But I think that, if I'm not mistaken, that a lot of capitals, they are a little smaller size in city just because based on the fact that government is there. I could be wrong, but
no, I think you're right. If you think about California, I believe Sacramento is the capital.
Right, right.
But your LA and your San Francisco are bigger than.
Right. So one of the areas within our state, which we are blessed to be so very close to, it's only about a 15-20 minute drive, is the land of chocolate, Hershey, Pennsylvania. I love it.
Everyone knows Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've moved around the country. I've lived in Hawaii and I've lived in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And when people would ask where I came from, I would usually just say Hershey, Pennsylvania, because they would definitely know that versus saying, and now granted, now Harrisburg is the capital, but I would always say Hershey because you're almost guaranteed someone's going to know Hershey and the Hershey chocolates.
Plus the proximity of your actual house to both of those locations is generally the same.
Right, exactly. I mean, you leave out of my neighborhood and you drive 2 miles to down to the square in the middle of the town, there's already signs Hershey, 8 miles. So yeah, it's like a direct shot. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, or probably almost everyone, has enjoyed Hershey chocolate bar or Hershey Kisses. But not only do we have the great factory there, but we also have the amazing Hershey Park and Hershey's Chocolate World, which are great amusements attractions. And Hershey Park has some amazing roller coasters. I love it.
I love when we talk about stuff on the podcast because it inspires me to do those things.
Absolutely. Things that are so close, but sometimes you could go maybe a year or so without even going and enjoying it.
Right. I've got to get to Hershey Park with the family this summer. I'm going to put that on my goal list.
Absolutely. And I, from what I understand in some videos I saw, they have some new rides that they're releasing this year. So it'll definitely be fun to get the family out and do that. When we were kids, my grandma used to get us season passes every year for Christmas, and that was a treat because
we had season passes too.
Yeah, I can remember when you and I were like junior high age. That's what we would do if we wanted to go and hang out and just be by ourselves without parents. Let's get dropped off at Hershey for the day.
And it seemed like our parents would work the ride situation out, and it was never like a big deal to them either.
No, it was just, okay, well, you take them down, we'll carpool, we'll come and pick them up. Because, I mean, the Hershey Park opens at 10 a.m. and closes at 10 p.m. So, you know, the energy of the youngsters, you drop them off there, they're going to be fine all day long. And if you can hit a crowded day sometimes at the park, and if you're there 8 hours, you might get on 8 rides because the lines can be an hour long for some of the bigger roller coasters.
Yes, so the attractions that a teenager would want to go to would be those big roller coasters that have those hour-long lines.
Right, like the bigger thrill rides. I know that when my daughters were younger and we used to go to the park, again, almost like the farm show, we would divide and conquer. I would take my boys, and we would go and do the roller coasters. And my wife has never been an enthusiast of any form of a roller coaster, so she doesn't even ride the ride. So she had no problem taking the girls to the little kiddie sections and getting on like the little ladybugs or the little bumper cars and things of that. But one of the other great parts of the Hershey Amusement Park is Hershey's Chocolate World, where you can get a seated guided tour, and they break it down how they make the chocolate.
And it's all automated. You wait in a line. You get into a car, a ride car.
Right.
And then from that point on, you get to watch the magic that is made right there in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
And the Hershey's Chocolate World is open all year round, which is it's a nice treat. Children love to go there on any given day. If you say, hey, you want to go down to Chocolate World, they're always on board, and it's always a good time. And you take them through the tour, and you get off, and there's always some free chocolate at the end to be had. And then, of course, the line leads you directly into the shops, which are just jam-packed with any type of chocolate delicacy that you could possibly think of. And I just love Hershey.
I think that while I was talking about Hershey, you've got to mention the Giant Center.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They have an amazing stadium, home of the Hershey Bears.
Go Bears!
The AHL Hockey League, and they have numerous championships there at the Hershey Bears.
Right, and the Hershey Giant Center and the Hershey Stadium, they bring in some pretty big acts, too, as far as concerts. You name it. Paul McCartney has played there.
That's exactly the one I was just... Sir Paul McCartney. I was just thinking of that one, too.
I don't think there's probably a bigger name that you could drop.
And I heard it was a great show. The Hershey Concert Series this year was packed with great shows.
I know the day following the Paul McCartney show, it was... if you went onto Facebook and you didn't go to the show, you were jealous that you didn't go down to the show, because I heard it was just fantastic.
The Rolling Stones.
Stones played there.
The Stones played
there. The Eagles have played there.
We've had a ton of big bands. Dave Matthews came there every year.
Several times. I know the jam band Fish has been there, and they've drawn their crowd into town. And
what, it holds probably 32,000, 33,000?
Yeah. As far as the stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah, the stadium, yeah. I do believe it holds that amount. I'm not sure what the capacity is on the Giants. It looks huge on the inside, but I'm not sure what the capacity is.
I think they're at a 13,000, but it does look huge. It's an amazing place.
Yeah, so if you've never had the privilege of getting to Hershey, Pennsylvania, that might be something to plan a family vacation around, because it's just dynamite. You can get multiple day passes at a reduced price and just have a fantastic time with your family. So, Steve, since we're on this little trip around Pennsylvania, and we talked about the farm show, and we talked about Hershey, Pennsylvania, what's something else that we can brag about our state a little bit?
Well, I can tell you this. I have been, personally, to the Lincoln Financial Center.
Oh, that's amazing. I have not been there. I've been to the old vet, but I haven't been to the Lincoln Financial.
I don't think I ever went to the vet.
I went to the vet to see Pink Floyd in 94. June 2nd, 94. Yeah. That's how much I enjoyed that. But yeah, so the vet was torn down and they replaced it with a humongous Lincoln Financial.
It is so big. So, oh my goodness.
So you went there for an Eagles game?
I went there for a Monday night Eagles game against the Cowboys.
Oh wow.
And I was up in the nosebleed section, which actually gave me a great perspective of the actual building.
Oh, okay.
So climbing up the steps, it was much steeper than I imagined.
Right.
Like, it doesn't show that on TV. When you're watching a football game and you get to see the crowd, it doesn't show you really how on top of the field they are.
Right. I know I've driven past the Financial Center, and looking up at some of those top sections, it almost looks like they start to curve in a little bit.
Like a tower.
I've thought to myself, oh my gosh, if you get up there, is there a risk of falling? And heavens knows that at football games, I'm sure there's been some cases of people having maybe a little too much to drink, and that would be terrible.
Yeah, so the Lincoln Financial Center in Philadelphia is definitely a cool place to go.
Absolutely. One thing I did forget is not only did I go to the vet to see Pink Floyd, I went to the vet to also see the Dallas Cowboys play the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you are a Dallas Cowboys fan living in Pennsylvania and you go to an Eagles game, you will just go in plain clothes and you will not represent your team. I went with a good friend of ours, Evan Jones, and we were surrounded by Eagles fans, as it should be. I mean, that's their stadium. And we kind of, if the Cowboys did something good, because he's a Cowboys fan as well, we kind of looked at each other and I think we winked because we weren't about to start cheering. But it was all good fun. But
it's a tough crowd. The Philly crowd is a tough crowd.
They're very, very, very passionate about their team, as they should be. So if you're going in there to see any other team than the Eagles, just take precaution.
So that's Philadelphia, and we got Harrisburg. And now is,
well, one more thing we should probably add though before we leave Philly is we got the home of the best, one of the best sandwiches in the world coming out of Philadelphia.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, we got the cheesesteak, the home of the Philly cheesesteak.
Which everybody tries to, you get the national chains, you see Subway, they got a Philadelphia cheesesteak. Let me tell you something, that's not a Philadelphia cheesesteak.
It's not a Philadelphia cheesesteak unless if you get it to go and it's in a brown paper bag and by the time you get it home you can see through the bag
right
from the grease, that's a Philadelphia cheesesteak.
And I love the cheesesteaks.
You can go to Philly and you can visit many different places. And if you ask a local down there, what's the best Philly cheesesteak? It's going to definitely be up for debate. I know people that live outside of Philly. Some of the bigger ones are always the debate between Gino's and Pat's Steaks.
Right, which are directly across the street from each other.
Right, yep. You can see the one. Gino's has a big, all kinds of lights lit up, and they're advertising the heck out of their cheesesteaks. And then there's Pat's across the street where just a sign saying Pat's Steaks. And they're both delicious. I've had both. I think Pat's is, they take their steak and they cut it up, versus Gino's, they keep the steak whole when they put it into the sandwich. But having both, I believe I'm a Pat's fan between those two.
And you can get it with Cheese Whiz.
Wit.
Yes.
You got it. There's a language that you have to be able to speak
a
when
cadence.
You're in Philly. Yes, definitely. And when you get up in line, they don't want to hear, can I have a cheesesteak with onions and cheese? And now you walk up there, and if you want cheese and you want onions, you walk up and say, I'll take a steak, wit. And they know exactly what you got, and you're going to get just heaven delivered to you.
Oh, man. Cheesesteaks are great. That is a huge part of Philly. I'm so glad that you reminded me of that.
Absolutely. And I want to give a shout out to a couple other great cheesesteak places down there. There's a place called Chicky Pete's, which has fantastic cheesesteak, and another place called Tony Luke's, which just has a banging cheesesteak as well. And aside from the cheesesteak, I want to give a shout out to, there's a roast beef restaurant that you can go to down there called Nick's Roast Beef on 19th and Jackson Street. Amazing sandwich.
There you go. You heard it first.
Absolutely. So we discussed Philly and their cheesesteaks. You know what? I'm gonna give a shout out to my favorite potato chip in the world, Middlesworth.
I love Middlesworth.
I got a funny story about Middlesworth chips.
I gotta hear it.
Now, if you're unfamiliar with these chips, they come in barbecue, plain, sour cream and onion, and I believe like a jalapeno as well. Maybe not obviously, but the barbecue are the ones that are just amazing. They come with this dust on them, this barbecue dust that is like a mixture between salt and sugar, which just electrifies your mouth.
It's the best chip I've ever had.
Absolutely. And if you ask anybody from central Pennsylvania what's the best potato chip, 9 times out of 10 you're gonna get a Middlesworth shout out. Now, funny story, I was in Wisconsin and I was at a concert and we were tailgating in the parking lot, and Middlesworth used to put out a big tub of chips. It was like a big circular cardboard
container,
right, with a circle lid, and then when you'd pop open the lid, there'd be a bag full of the chips in there. So I went out to the center of this particular tailgate where everybody was walking down this one direction, and I stood out there and I just said best barbecue chips in the world, help yourself. And some people would and some people wouldn't. Well, this one particular guy walked past me, and I was like, free barbecue chips, best you ever had. He was like, sure, why not? He reached his hand in the tub, took some chips, and he walked off. I would say maybe 90 seconds passed. I see this guy running back to me at full speed and stops me and like looked me dead in the eye and was like, what are the name of those chips? Those are the best I've ever tasted. So I showed him, and he said he was going to try and get his hands on them, but this was a pre-internet, so I don't know if he was ever successful, but I'm sure he probably tried.
Right. He probably wrote the company.
Probably did, because I know when I lived in Hawaii, my mom used to send me care packages, and she would send me at least 3 of the big tubs. She would take the bag out of the cardboard, and then she would pack them up in boxes and ship them out to me. And the day that they arrived in Hawaii, it was just one of my happiest days. I would just sit in front of the TV or go to the beach and just feast on these chips.
They make hot wings out of the chips.
Right.
They crush up the chips and put it on a coating for the hot wings.
Yep. I believe at Ted's Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
Right here in Harrisburg. I've had them. And funny enough, the first time I ever ordered them, I wasn't sure if they were going to come like a wet wing with a sauce.
Right.
Or how they were going to come. And when they came and they were just breaded in this, I was just like, wow.
That sounds great.
Unbelievable that they, and it seemed like they, I mean, most people that have had Middlesworth are going to know what I'm talking about here, but at the bottom of the bag, they have like this bunny dust.
Right.
That you just want to get a whole pinch of and just stuff in your mouth. But these wings that they cover in it, it seems like they got their hands on just the bunny dust and just coated these wings. Fantastic wings.
Bunny dust is also a cultural reference to the Red Rabbit.
It is. It is a. We have a restaurant not too far from us called the Red Rabbit, where you can drive up and they come out and they serve you at your car, and you can get a bunny burger with bacon with bunny fries, and you can get extra bunny dust. And I always go with a birch beer on the side to wash it all down with.
It's kind of like the original of what Sonic was made to be like.
Right.
Right.
And it's only open seasonally, I think,
right,
from like spring to like maybe late fall. Maybe.
Oh, that lights Facebook up too when that place opens.
People will check in and whoa, Red Rabbit's open.
We're going,
honey, grab the kids.
Did you know that the Red Rabbit was open?
Just an amazing, and you'll drive. It's probably about a good 20-minute drive, but you'll go, and it's just so amazing. You just sit there in the car with the kids, because that's just it just seems like that's a lost art of being able to pull up and enjoy your food and a waitress coming to the car.
Right. It's something that is not prevalent in today's society.
Right. So we're fortunate enough to have that red rabbit because I know I have some friends that on the West Coast that are always bragging about the In-N-Out burger. And I'm always like, oh, I love that. But we got the red rabbit. So.
Right. They get their sourdough jacks and we get the bunny burgers.
Right. So we've covered a lot of different ground here in Pennsylvania. So we just got out of Philadelphia briefly. So then we got about 3 hours to the west of us. We got Pittsburgh.
Right. Big town. Second largest town in Pennsylvania.
Home of the Steelers.
Which is not my team, but...
my team either, but...
I'm not a Steelers hater.
No. Most respect for the Steelers.
In fact, when the Eagles get knocked out of the playoffs, I root for the Steelers.
Yeah, and... 9 times out of 10, my Cowboys aren't in the playoffs, except for this year. So, but yeah, if the Steelers are playing and they're making it far, yeah, I gotta root on the Steelers for the hometown Pennsylvania pride.
So they have Heinz Stadium out there.
Okay, yeah.
And one of the things that you see on TV is that all their seats are yellow.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So they have the Heinz 57 flavors, which is a ketchup. Well, now it is a mustard and other things, but it's, right. I believe it started out as a ketchup.
Yep, sure did.
Which is a national brand. You can get Heinz out on the West Coast.
Yep. And I'm trying to think. I know that inside Pittsburgh City, there's a what is the name of the famous restaurant there that people always go to for their sandwiches?
The O.
I'm sure.
Is that not the one with the coleslaw and the French fries on top?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Oh, I'm drawing a blank, so I won't try and draw it out. But yeah, they have this amazing restaurant there that you go, and if you order a hamburger or anything, that they top it off with coleslaw and a big stack of French fries, and it's amazing. I'm shocked at myself right now that I can't think of the name, but.
When I know that when we were younger, we saw shows at the Star Lake Amphitheater.
Yep. Drive out to Star Lake to catch a concert and do some camping. And it's always been a good time out there.
What was that campground? That was an awesome campground.
That was, yeah. That's another thing that's escaping me.
Bennett Acres?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you are right.
Man, that was great.
I mean, it's such a drive. Well, it's not. I mean, it's three and a half hours, but it's all turnpike. So I don't get out to Pittsburgh as often as I'd like to.
It's through the Allegheny, and they actually carve tunnels through the mountains for the turnpike. So you're driving along, and you're outside, and then you come up on a big mountain, and you will go through the mountain in a tunnel, and the radio will cut off. There'd be signs to put your headlights on inside the tunnel.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they do that all with like dynamite and blowing it all out and carving it out that way?
I believe so.
And that's pretty impressive.
The Pennsylvania Turnpike goes from one side to the other. So,
yep. Route 76 take you all the way from Pittsburgh all the way into Philadelphia.
I've definitely taken the turnpike out to Pittsburgh quite a few times, and that is my favorite part. It's going through those tunnels.
Absolutely. So here it is, Permonte Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Permonte's. And funny enough, the first time I ever had Permonte's wasn't in Pittsburgh. I was in Fort Lauderdale, and I saw Permonte's and signed for Permonte's, and I went in there because I wanted some pizza, and I saw all this Steelers gear, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, we're based out of there, and that's where we're from, and that's where one of our other locations. I think they only might have two. But yeah, they got started in Pittsburgh, and if you're ever in the Pittsburgh area, stop in Permonte's Brothers. Don't try to avoid lunch hour, though. You go in there at lunch hour, and anybody that's working around there, I mean, granted, they're fast, but it's a long line because people are hardcore for these sandwiches.
I love the little hometown traits of Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. You know, we might take it for granted here and there on what we have in our state. And, you know, I'm glad that we were able to do this podcast because it gave us a chance to be able to reflect on some things because, you know, we do have it pretty nice here in Pennsylvania. I mean, everything from the farm show and Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, our proximity to the beaches to go on vacation. It's only about three and a half hours. We're a big hunting state. So that's like, besides football, hunting would be coming in I wouldn't even say a number two, a close number one.
Right, they're kind of tied.
Yeah, because
tons of hunters here in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yep. So it's just it's an amazing state to be. And one thing other I wanted to mention, and Steve will probably be able to give more information on this because he's in the industry, but Yingling, the oldest brewery in America?
Oldest brewery in North America.
Okay.
Yeah. American owned. So Pennsylvania, as far as the craft beer segment goes, has been likened to the Napa Valley of California. Our craft beer scene is amazing here. I don't know if it's because of the where we are to get the hops, like to get the raw ingredients, or if it's just because of where we're at on the East Coast. It's easy to distribute to a lot of people. Okay. But our craft beer scene is hot.
Now, have you ever visited the Yingling Brewery?
I've been to the Yingling Brewery. I've been to the Trogs Brewery, and brewery tours are fantastic. I love doing them.
Yeah, they are great. I haven't made it to the Yingling Brewery, and I'd like to.
We got
to
do that together.
Yeah, that would be a fun time. But we do have a couple local microbreweries around here. One's Trogs, and the other being Appalachian Brewing Company.
Right, right.
Appalachian is right downtown. In the city, and we have Trogs out in Hershey, correct?
Right. Trogs representing Hershey. They started in Harrisburg on 2nd Street, and they've moved their entire operation to Hershey, and that is a fantastic tour. If you're in Hershey, definitely stop by the Trogs Brewery.
It was fun to watch that company grow, because we were fortunate enough to be within the age bracket of when they started putting out their beers, and it'll always forever be in my memory the seasonal Mad Elf that they put out.
Right.
And my hat's off to Trogs and Appalachian Brewery as well. Great place to tour. They do they bring in some concerts there. Sometimes they bring in some pretty big names, and that venue doesn't even hold that many people, so you can get really lucky.
Definitely a cool venue.
Absolutely. So we've discussed a lot about our fine state that we're proud of. I know that our listeners from other states that you're pretty proud of where you are from too, and that you would like to do some bragging on your state. So before wrapping up here, I'm going to advise you to let us know a little bit about your state. What makes your state so great? So we're gonna go out to our Facebook page following this podcast, and we're gonna put a link out there, and you'll see it. It'll be labeled the podcast where we're talking about Pennsylvania. We haven't named it yet. That's why I'm just saying that. But go out there and give us a comment and let us know where you're from. Give us your name and age and where you're from and what are some of the great highlights of your state, because it's definitely interesting, and people that are traveling, they want to know the hot spots of what to do.
Right. They want to know what to do in your state, and also we would love to shout out your name if you're from a different state.
Absolutely.
You want to post something up on our Facebook, and it's the cool thing to do in that state, and then you get to be the cool person in that state.
Absolutely, because you can ask around to people and say, oh, hey, I'm going to Wisconsin. What's cool? And they're going to give you some of the big name stuff. We want to know what are some of the really awesome, you know, maybe tucked away places or the hidden places that just make your town. So we'll definitely look forward to reading some of your comments and hearing about the pride of where you're from.
The things that add a little character to your town.
Absolutely. So, and if you could... if you have been following our podcast and are enjoying it, do us a favor and try and forward out our Facebook page to your friends and maybe give them a link to our iTunes podcast, or send them over to podbean.com and see if we can't get some more listeners and have a lot of more fun.
So I've had a great time talking about Pennsylvania.
I have too, and I'm ready to go explore some of these places. I might head into Hershey tomorrow.
We might go to the Indian Echo Caverns.
Oh, we'll have to save that one maybe for another time, but very key. Do yourselves a favor and look up Indian Echo Caverns on the internet.
Come on out to Pennsylvania. Look us up when you get here.
Yeah, me and... Steve and I would be more than happy to show you around. Contact us through our Facebook page and let us know you're coming into town, and we'll show you a good time. But until then, I've had a lot of fun, and I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve. Thank you. We are Subtle Beast.
Subtle Beast. Thank you, guys. Take care of one another. Bye-bye.